Indeed Pod, a podcast about indie tabletop role-playing games, where I interview creators about their games and inspirations, and about the theory, process, and practice of game design. My name is Mark Shepherd, your host today and always, and your friendly local indie enthusiast. This week, we're talking to longtime supporter of the show, Samantha Lee, about her game Anamnesis, as well as about her TikTok hype videos, which have been an indie TTRPG success story. Now that's out of my head and into yours, let's talk indie. So, today we're talking to Sam Lee. Hi there, Sam.
Hi, thank you for having me. Yes, Indeed is actually the first indie tabletop podcast I ever started listening to, so I'm excited to be here.
Yeah. What a great note to start on, maybe. Or at least the audio quality could only go up from that. Anyway, would you like to take a minute to introduce yourself and let us know what you do in the indie tabletop role-playing game scene?
Sure thing. So I am Sam. I use she, her pronouns, and I am a game designer. I've been making games for almost a year now. I'm overall pretty new to indie games in general. I just discovered them like a year and a half ago, but I've just completely nosedived right into everything. So my games can be found at blinkingbirchgames.itch.io, and I am on Twitter at Goblin Mixtape.
I mean, where does Goblin Mixtape come from? That's my first question too.
Sure. So goblins themselves are just phenomenal creatures. I used to have the Discord handle Goblin Queen for a little bit, but I also just make a lot of playlists. I have for years, they're just really nice gifts for people, and also it's just something I like to do in my free time, so Goblin Mixtape just felt right, and I've kind of stuck with it now.
You've been making quite a lot of mixtapes for people recently, or?
Yeah, I've been making playlists for other people's games, so some game designers have been coming to me to make, Spotify playlists for them, and that's been a lot of fun. It's been really cool. Some really fun challenges for some of the games, and it's just nice to make something that people can listen to while playing.
I really like it when designers, make music. Chris Bissett is, the classic example for this, a whole vinyl album.
Yeah, it's amazing. I was actually just listening to some of the Orbital Blues soundtrack while I was at work.
Oh yeah, that was another one.
Oh,
yeah.
It's stellar. It's so good.
Did Chris do Orbital Blues as well?
Yeah, they did.
And go on, which has been your favorite to do so far?
Oh gosh. there's so many.
I'm not asking you to pick a favorite game.
Of course. Oh, you know what? I made one for Vibe Check. That one, for me, is a lot of fun to just go back and listen to. It's all instrumental music. It's a little bit high energy anime, sort of. There's some JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, some Danganronpa.
Brilliant.
The game itself is based on The World Ends With You. So I think there's one from that. Vibe Check was designed by Josh Hitty, who's Ostrich Monkey on Twitter, and just makes a bunch of fantastic games.
Fantastic. Now, you mentioned back there that you were a newer game designer. What's your experience of the scene been?
Sure. It's been great. I mean, one of the reasons why I was so drawn to it is because of the people. It's very inspiring, and everyone has been so welcoming. It's really amazing to see how encouraging everyone is of new designers and of sharing resources and just spreading the word about games in general. I've just felt very welcome, and it's a group that I want to be a part of. It's something that I was really inspired by and drawn to. It's a wonderful community.
It absolutely is. People are welcoming of everybody, but especially people who have so much energy to give. I think you do a lot of great stuff in the scene. You do a lot of fantastic promotion, a lot of cool games, which is always a good start, but also you talk about other people's stuff, and you make them feel welcome as well. So
thank you.
I think the scene is welcoming to everyone, but it's especially welcoming to nice people.
Yeah, that's true.
What are the projects that you've been working on in the last year then? What are the games that stand out for you?
Well, the biggest one is Anamnesis, which, Marks, of course, because you are the editor.
I'm familiar with, yeah.
But yeah, so Anamnesis is certainly the biggest one. It is a solo game that uses a deck of tarot cards to play, and it tells the story of someone with memory loss. So during the course of the game, you gradually recover your memories and learn more about your past. but you are also kind of coming into your own in the future and figuring out who you want to be and how you want to move forward with what you've learned.
Yeah.
So it's got a lot to do with like self-reflection, self-discovery, identity. I've talked to people who have played this game in different ways. The characters that people make are so different from each other, and the stories that people tell are so different, and it's really been a delight to see.
I think it's a really nice game. It's quite succinct. It's smartly written. It's got a lot of really interesting ideas in it, and it being a solo game makes it extremely accessible for people, which is always a massive bonus.
Sure.
We're seeing quite a lot of newer solo games coming out, and I think that's a really nice thing to see in the scene, because people seem to be really enjoying it and like engaging with this mode of play. So I think that's nice. Was there a particular inspiration for making it a solo game rather than a duet game, which I feel like it could also potentially be?
You know, at the time, making it a duet game had never even occurred to me. I was more drawn towards the solo games because for me, when you have a group game, there's often a lot more balancing that goes into it, right? And pretty frequently more rules. Not necessarily. There's some solo games with a lot of rules, and there's some multiplayer games with very, very few rules. My strengths come with storytelling and not so much with mechanics. So Anamnesis has very simple mechanics. The mechanics part of it wasn't as interesting to me as being able to tell this story. So I was a little bit more drawn towards the solo gameplay for that reason.
Yeah.
Because I think mechanically it's a little bit easier to handle.
Definitely.
But also the nature of Anamnesis, it's very personal. So as a solo player, you're able to really control your story and you're really able to dive into topics that you might not feel comfortable diving into with a whole group.
I think that's definitely true. And maybe that's one of the other reasons that, you know, indie has so many solo games at the moment, is that people are beginning to want to explore these ideas of identity through play. And that's kind of cool.
Sure.
In fact, I'd say be stronger than that. That's extremely cool. That's extremely validating for people as well.
It's a really cool push to see that in games. I've not read it yet, but Logan sounds just amazing.
Yeah.
It sounds like it's just such a personal game, right? And I know that your game, A Loud Noise in a Quiet Place, I know that that's based on, from my understanding, personal experience. To be able to put those personal experiences in a game like that and have other people explore them and also relate to them, you know, not only is it an interesting experience to kind of learn more about yourself through play, but also to empathize.
Definitely.
It's such a cool movement to see these like empathetic games.
I think you're right.
Yeah, it's I don't know. It's neat. I've been enjoying exploring some of that.
Logan is a particularly interesting one. And if you want to explore it without playing it, listening to Jeff Stormer talk to Logan about it and play through that game was like, it was a very, very good episode.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, it was really good. I recommend everybody go and listen to that Party of One episode. Not necessarily as a good starting off place for listening to Party of One, because it's quite intense, but it is a really, really good episode.
I still need to listen to it. It's very high on my list.
So, yeah, Anamnesis. It's a cool game, and it's based on Tarot, which is cool as well. We're seeing a lot of tarot games coming out, especially in the solo scene. Is there a reason you opted for tarot rather than, you know, a standard deck of cards or even dice?
I actually don't have a ton of experience with tarot. I have, you know, done a couple of readings before, and I have a couple of friends who are more into it. And I had a tarot deck.
Handy.
Yeah, exactly. The overall theme of Anamnesis came first.
Yeah.
And then it was just figuring out which mechanics worked best to tell the story.
Yeah.
And, you know, I consider dice and regular playing cards and things, but ultimately settled on tarot because tarot in and of itself has such a powerful storytelling mechanism kind of woven into it. You know, each of these cards are so evocative that even if you knew nothing about tarot, you could easily be inspired by the cards themselves.
Yeah.
It seemed like a good tool to use, especially with the idea of memory loss, right? So if you don't remember anything, right, and you draw a tarot card, just looking at the card can tell you something about your history.
Yeah.
Tarot kind of has this also, at least to me, it has kind of this mysterious, a little like ethereal sort of energy. And that is similar with Anamnesis, because Anamnesis has this like haziness about it because you don't, you know, you don't know who you are. You're trying to remember.
Yeah.
The whole vibe of tarot cards kind of fit what I was going for with anamnesis.
Absolutely. I think a lot of what we associate tarot with is kind of, like you say, sort of that mysterious element, but it's got this kind of cultural weight to it as well.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a physicality of it for a start, which is when you pick it up, it's heavy. It feels important.
Yeah.
And when you turn over those big cards and it's like a reveal and you're picturing all the scenes of like these ancient wizened fortune tellers turning mm-hmm. cards over in some tent in a circus somewhere. That's what I want to evoke.
Yeah.
That's the feeling that I want to evoke when I design with tarot, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not the same as picking up some of those click-clack math rocks, right? Rolling on a table doesn't have the same feel to it as turning over a card.
Sure.
Before you even get into the idea that a deck of cards has memory as well, and the art can sort of evoke things. It's just, I really, really like to see it. I absolutely love to see it in game design. So yeah, mm-hmm. but I mean, big kudos, really. It was exactly the right choice for the game.
Thank you.
Which is 90% of the work of a game designer, of course, you know, not to belittle it, but it was the perfect choice.
Yeah, I think it worked well for it.
Sam, I understand you're taking Anamnesis to Kickstarter.
I am, yeah. I am more excited than I am nervous, actually. I'm excited about it.
Excellent.
It will be my first Kickstarter, and it will also be, if successful, my first print run of a game. So Anamnesis is already out. People have already played it. And it's not really going to be edited after the Kickstarter, except for just minor things for print. But there is no physical version yet. So the Kickstarter is to help raise funds for the physical copy. Like I said, I'm excited for it. I think, fingers crossed that it goes well, but I feel good about it.
You should. I mean, if it's anything like mine, it'll be your last Kickstarter as well, because I just found it incredibly stressful.
Well, we'll see what happens once it actually launches, right?
Absolutely. No, fantastically good luck.
Thank you.
The pre-release page is up, isn't it? So I guess people are signing up to that now. And
it is, yeah.
It's great to watch those numbers go up. It's really like refreshing, and it gives you a good feeling that it's gonna go well, which I am absolutely very, very confident that it is.
Thank you.
Print runs are always fun. I actually do like the print run side of things.
Okay, that's good.
It's all the other stuff that's not so much fun for me.
sure, yeah.
That's fantastic. When can we expect to see that?
The Kickstarter is going to launch on November 1st, and it's going to run for 2 weeks. So I'm going to do a two-week one instead of a whole month one. I feel like that'll be a little bit easier on me.
Good for you. That is much nicer.
I think so. I think it'll be good. And it's also going to be part of SideQuest.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. For anyone who doesn't know, SideQuest is this indie game crowdfunding push that is happening in November. So in November, a lot of different designers are going to be crowdfunding their games. And it's kind of this way to have a movement like that that is outside of ZineQuest that Kickstarter does in March. So it's just like another option for designers to go down. But this is going to be the first year for it. And it's going to be exciting to be part of it. And I hope it goes well. I have a feeling it will.
It's a really fantastic pushback against all the
nonsense
that came out of ZineQuest earlier in the year. And just think mm-hmm. it's going to be a lot of fun. We've got some cool games being kickstarted or itch funded at the same time. Like Laurie O'Connell, who produced Lichcraft, is doing a Lancer adventure, which should be cool.
Yeah, yeah. Chris Bissett is also launching a solo Troika module.
Down in Yongerdy.
Yes.
I did not know that was part of SideQuest. That's exciting.
I don't actually know if it's part of SideQuest, but I do know that we're launching on the same day. Exactly, right?
Cool. Yeah. Good luck then, because that's going to be an exciting month. It's going to be really fun.
Yeah, I think so.
We mentioned Lichcraft there, and I feel like some people mm-hmm. might know you in relation to that game. You want to tell us a little bit about why?
Yeah, sure. So I have been giving a lot of thought about how indie designers utilize different online platforms to spread word about the scene, to advertise their games, that sort of thing. Because really, like, it's mostly Twitter, right?
Yeah.
It's a lot of Twitter. Some people find things through Kickstarter. That's how I actually discovered the scene originally, was I was just browsing on Kickstarter.
Wow. That's cool.
Yeah, right? I don't even know what I was looking at, right? Maybe, I think I was backing like a D&D module, and then I found the indie stuff and then never went back. So, it's a lot of Twitter, and like there's some like blogs and things, and there's some stuff on like YouTube, but there's so many other platforms that we can use.
Yeah.
One that I'm only just starting to poke into is Tumblr, which, you know, different people have their different opinions on Tumblr, but in my experience, yeah. there's probably a ton of people on that site who would absolutely love indie games.
Yeah.
But still need to explore that one. Basically, I decided to make a TikTok. I think I had a TikTok account for like a week before I was like, hey, what if I do some indie game reviews on here? And so I like made a video that was basically introducing the channel, essentially, like, you know, talking about the fact that I would be doing game reviews.
I watched that video today. It's really funny.
Oh, yeah.
Well worth a watch. I don't know where you got a trench coat full of zines, but you know.
Yeah, that was the first one. Yeah, that was very fun to make and so difficult also to keep everything properly clothespinned. Anyway, so I posted my first game review video, which really I've stopped calling review videos and I've started more referring to them as hype videos because that's really what they are. It's more like me being, look at this game, look why it's cool. So I posted my first video on Lori O'Connell's Lichcraft. Fantastic game. You play as a trans person who is in the UK, and the waiting list to get gender affirming healthcare is like 300 years long. They're just essentially putting you on the end of this list and waiting for you to die. But you refuse to do that and instead decide to become a lich so that you can live to get to the end of that wait list. It's very kind of a dark comedy sort of thing. It's got a lot of satire to it, and it's a really just fantastic game. So I made a video about it on TikTok, first game video I had made, and it blew up, and it has, I think, 50,000 views now.
Yikes.
Yeah, yeah. So that was wild. I kind of immediately had to do a 180 on like how I was thinking about all of this.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I suddenly had like 1,000 followers out of nowhere, and now it's grown since then. So yeah, it seems very, very clear that there is absolutely an audience for this on TikTok.
Yeah.
Because since then I've been making some other videos about other games, and most of them have been doing fairly well. None of them have gotten quite the 50,000 views of Lichcraft, but like people are engaging, people are checking these games out. Also, I've been getting a lot of comments on the videos that are like, I had no idea that solo games were a thing, and now I'm like playing solo games. So people are seeing this stuff and really being interested in it and have never heard of it before. So that's been really cool to see. It's really neat. And it's neat to like chat with some of them and, you know, send some like links around of stuff that people might be interested in. I mean, it's been kind of wild how fast it blew up. I've only been making videos for maybe a bit over a month now. So it's been a little crazy, but in a very good way.
I think that's definitely a good way. It's a really, really nice promotion for people as well. I know that people are really, really appreciative when you do a hype video.
Sure, sure.
It kind of brings to mind like what Hype Swap was intended to be, which was something that Logan Timmons started when it was just Twitter threads of, again, not really reviews because you can't get into that kind of depth that a review needs.
Mm-hmm.
It's also not really objective.
Sure, sure.
It's just check out this cool thing that this person has made.
Yeah.
And then they do the same for you, and that's really nice. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the kind of short form stuff that a lot of indie stuff would really benefit from. So yeah, I think you're doing fantastic work here.
Thank you.
As long as you're having fun doing it as well, which it does sound like you are.
Yeah, no, for sure. It's been great. It's been cool seeing how people are engaging with it. And it's been really neat, like chatting with some of these designers who I haven't really known very well.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's been a really cool experience. I'm excited to do more of it, to make more videos.
What kind of content have you got lined up?
I think my next one is going to be on another solo game called The Story of a Story. It was designed by The Dice, a plural system in the UK. I gave it a read the other day and it's really cool.
Awesome.
I think it's a lost and found game. Essentially, you play as a story, and through play, you have all of these different tellers of your story, and it changes over time. So this story like shifts and changes, and you kind of see how it affects the tellers who speak of it and like what they change. It's this thing where at the beginning of the game, you as a story are one one thing, and by the end of the game, you are a different thing. It's a really neat idea.
That sounds really fun.
Yeah.
Everybody should go and check out the Story of a Story by The Dice. Yeah, that sounds amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And then while you're at it, you know, just check out all of Sam's videos, because fun. You'll definitely not regret it. It's half an hour well spent.
The TikTok handle is the same as my Twitter, so it's at Goblin Mixtape.
More Goblin Mixtapes. Okay, mm-hmm. cool. Well, that's fantastic. So have you got any other thoughts on like social media platforms that could be good for indie game designers?
I mean, the big two I've been thinking about are TikTok and Tumblr, because the audience there just seems like they would eat that stuff up if we can figure out a way to spread the word effectively.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff that just doesn't get seen, but if there's a way to build an audience for it, I think things could be pretty good there. I mean, to be honest, I don't have any experience with like Instagram, for example, right? So I'm kind of just going off of what I know. I mean, to be fair, I did not know TikTok. I made like two videos and then was Googling like, how do I use TikTok? So, you know.
Oh, no.
Yeah, literally.
It didn't make you feel like a real boomer.
Really, it's seriously, this is not exaggeration though. I'm like, the first time I had to review a game that wasn't, that there wasn't like a physical copy that I could hold up, right? I was like, how do,
oh, no.
I was like, I've seen people use green screen effects on here. How do I do that? I gotta Google this, right? Like, I have to start looking into this now. Anyway, I had no idea.
I was sort of talking to Amber, also known as the Space Jamba, very recently, and I was listening to it today as I was editing it, about like social media and effective promotion for indie game designers.
Sure.
And Amber was saying, just get out there, post on whatever platforms you like, just post regularly and have fun doing it.
Mm-hmm.
I've been wondering about getting, I think there is a sort of indie scene on Instagram. I just kind of not sure about how to get into it. And I think it's mostly driven by illustrators, which is maybe really fun.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That would make sense. I mean,
Right? I would like to connect with more illustrators. Maybe we should just diversify away from Twitter. Part of the reason that I think a lot of people got onto Twitter is that Google Plus died, and that tipped the indie scene who were like really, really thriving on that platform because it was almost perfectly set up to deal with kind of fringes.
Okay.
And then the fallout from that was that, you know, nobody really wanted to go onto Facebook because it didn't feel like a natural place for groups to collect.
Yeah.
And like Twitter is a hellscape. It's at least broadly functional in terms of collecting people into circles of followers.
Sure,
right?
Sure.
So I think that is why typically it's now used, but it would be really good to diversify away from it.
Yeah, I think so. It's something that I think everyone should give some thought to, you know, and kind of to your point, like have fun doing it, right? I think that's one of the big things is that people kind of feed off of other people's excitement.
Yes.
So, you know, I really try to go into my videos with some pretty high energy because these games are cool. I want people to know that they're cool. I think that excitement is contagious. And, you know, obviously, if you're having fun doing what you're doing, you're going to bring more of that energy into it.
Yeah, definitely. And that's going to encourage people to go out there and check out the games and hopefully buy them, which I guess is 90% of the purpose of doing these hypes. It's fantastic. So
yeah.
Let's all make more positive and excited content rather than, you know, just endlessly fueling the discourse train.
Yeah, I try to just not. I mean, like every once in a while, I'll engage if I really feel like, well, yeah.
I think people who follow my main account on Twitter, which is not the Yes Indeed Pod account, which you should follow because that is entirely personal hyping content. If you follow my main account, you will realize that I am actually a horrible goose, by which I mean that, you know, engaging with people on a kind of negative platform is obviously not a great way to make friends and influence people, but it is a great way to get followers. Or it is at least a cheap way to get followers. Yeah. Especially on Twitter, which sort of thrives on the bad take.
Yeah.
Really, don't do that. Don't do what I do. I'm not a good role model for anybody. Do what you do, because you are a good role model for people.
Oh, thank you. Mostly, I really only speak up about discourse stuff when I feel like it's really important. You know, there's so much discourse out there that just kind of just doesn't really, ultimately, when you really like boil it down, it doesn't really matter, right? There's a lot of stuff out there that does matter, right? And so, you know, I am trying to be a little bit better at actually saying some of my opinions, but it can be a slope though. If it does bring you joy to engage in some of that stuff, it can be a little slippery sometimes.
Yes, I mean, maybe joy is the wrong word, but yes, I definitely am at the wrong end of that slippery slope at the moment. Let's just reiterate the message of positivity, really.
Sure, yeah.
On that note, Sam, do you want to hype up your own accounts and tell us where we can find you on the internet?
You can find me at Goblin Mixtape on Twitter and also at Goblin Mixtape on TikTok. And then you can find my games, including Anamnesis, at blinkingbirchgames.itch.io.
Fantastic. And as always, all of those links will be in the episode description. And I guess on that note, all that remains for me to say is thank you very much for coming on Yes Indeed Pod and for being such a good supporter to the show. And good luck with your Kickstarter, which, you know, is not far away now.
No, it's a couple weeks, week and a half. It's creeping up. Thanks for having me here. I appreciate it.
Thanks for listening. And thanks again to Sam for the interview. As always, you can find all of the links in the episode description. Next time I'll be talking to David Blandy, artist, music maker, game designer and competent runner of TTRPGs, about his collaboration project Lost Eons and about TTRPGs as an art form. Tune in next time to find out more. This week, and as alluded to in the main content, an advert from former guest Laurie O'Connell. If you play Lancer or any other mecha or RPG, you should look up Stolen Crown, written by Laurie O'Connell. This adventure module is set in the frozen wastes of Spar, an icy planet whose inhabitants hunt megafauna and develop uniquely creative technology to survive. The people of Spar live to create their own stories, in search of adventures and deeds that their children and grandchildren will remember. But Spar's own history is drenched in blood, and some parts of its violent past have not yet been put to rest. Whether you're an experienced Lancer GM or new to the game, this module is designed to help you kick off a campaign the right way. The adventure is on Kickstarter right now and will only run until mid-November. Search your Stolen Crown on Kickstarter or check the episode description for the link. And as always, I'd like to thank some of my Patreon backers, Georgie Batts and Sean Patrick Kane, who are always delightful to hear from and to talk to. Thank you both. And you, yes you, can get a regular shout out and joyful thanks if you go to patreon.com/yesindeedpod and sign up today. You'll get access to our Discord server where we can hang out and chat and even join monthly editing streams and the Yes Indeed Pod book club. Most of the money will go directly to creators rather than to me, so you'll be investing directly in the indie scene, which will make it a healthy and inclusive place for years to come. And if you can't commit regularly, you can always help out by rating and reviewing the show wherever you find your podcasts, or by donating through the Ko-fi page at ko-fi.com/yesindeedpod. Of course, you can always reach out to me through Twitter at yesindeedpod, that's yesindeedpod. I'd love dearly to hear from you. Lastly, music credits. The intro music is by my wonderfully talented friend Gemma Hooper, and the outro music and interstitials are from BitQuest by Kevin McLeod of Incompetech.com and filmmusic.io. Thank you, Gemma and Kevin. Until next time, remember, does indie need you? Yes, indeed.